Welcome to Lecture Hall 1. And yeah, this is the platform to speak about business, economics, and developmental affairs. It's the 30th of September, 2025. It's the last day of the month before we go to October. And just understand that we only have not more than 2 months, because when you enter October, you only have November before December, and December to a lot of people is 1 week. Yeah, that's why it's always very important to make sure that we reflect on how the year have been. We reflect on things that we have done, and we reflect on history, because every day, one thing that one of the elders have told me to say, David, if you go to sleep now, by the time you wake up, you are the age that you have plus those 8 hours that you slept, or 6 hours that you slept, or those of us who sleep, five and a half hours. And, that is what is adding to your age. So every day that you are sitting there, when the time is moving forward, remember that you are growing old, and it's always important and, very crucial to make sure that at least when you look at the goals that you have set, we understand that it could be that sometimes when you set goals, there might be things that can come in the way, but you must also be proud of yourself. The fact that you are still looking at time, the fact that you are still looking forward, that is quite important. So thank you for listening to Business and Economic Segment, and also thank you for tuning in, and we are going to dive into it. But before we go to that, like we are always saying to say, make sure that you are connected with us. Make sure that we are at the same frequency. Make sure that you listen to Eagle FM Namibia wherever you are, whenever you get time, and also to make sure that you inform yourself, you equip yourself with economic intelligence, and you give yourself also an opportunity to continue learning, relearning, unlearning, and also analyze critical issues when it comes to national, regional, and international development. And yeah, like you're always saying, make sure that you share and like Eagle FM page at all our social media platform. You find us on Facebook, you find us on X, that is former Twitter. You find us on LinkedIn and also on Instagram. Share and like our page, because when you do that, those who follow us will also, be able to be connected to you, or those that are following you can be able to be connected to Eagle FM Namibia, and they will not miss out. Then we'll build a community of those who are elevating the conversation, a community of those who are critically analyzed issues, and look at what are those things that we need to do, especially when we want to upgrade our developmental game. And the other thing, we also have the Villager newspaper. That is an e-paper which is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And the beauty of the Villager newspaper is that we update you on content and also context, particularly regarding articles written on commercial issues, developmental issues, food security, trade, and also issues on infrastructure development. And we are always advising, and we are always telling, especially the researchers, the student academics, and also those who are developmental agent or developmental enthusiasts, to say it's not correct for you to go without accessing the Villager newspaper. It's not correct for you to, be part of researchers, but you do not have economic insight. Make sure that part of the books that you read, part of the information that you are gathering, make sure that the Villager newspaper is part of your sources of information, because we don't just update you on critical economical issues, but we also give you insights so that you can expand your knowledge, you can expand your research through getting those insights. And yeah, apart from the Villager newspaper, you can also get connected to us. You can also get connected to us by making sure that you download Eagle FM app. Eagle FM app is an app that you can download by go to Play Store or App Store, then you download it into your phone. And the moment you download that Eagle FM app, you bought yourself a luxury of accessing the content, particularly the shows which are happening currently at that moment, especially the shows which are on air. You'll be able to listen to us, and you can also be able also to connect through the podcast, and you can connect to the programs that you have missed, because the beauty of Eagle FM app is that in a situation that you have missed the program, you do not need to worry, because there is still an alternative way of you catching up by going to our Eagle FM app and look at where there is written, podcast, and you can find the show that you have missed, the host, and the topic of that day, and you can be able to listen at your own time and also at your own pace. The other thing is also that we have Imba app. Imba app is a digital version of a hymn book. Either is Ehangano in Oshuambo, either is Omaimburiro in Oshierero, either is English, either is African, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. That's why we are always indicating to you to say, in a situation that you are at a place that you are required to sing from a hymn book, or you are required to reference, a hymn book, you do not need to worry if you do not have a hard copy hymn book, because life has changed so fast, and also technological advancement have made life easier. That is why in this world, you don't need to work with a hammer anymore. You need to work smart and understand that technology is here to make sure that it make our life easier. We work smart, faster, and we save time and energy. So download the Imba app and you not miss out. Sometimes you are invited to these weddings, you are invited to this graduation parties, a send-off parties, a retirement party, or life unfortunate events such as a funeral of a loved one, funeral of a friend, or you attend to mourn with fellow citizens, and you do not have a hard copy book, you do not need to worry, because technology is there to assist you. Just go to your Play Store, go to your App Store, then you download the Imba app, and life become more easier. The other thing is also that you can be able to advertise with us, buy airtime on air, so that you can boost and expand your business. Because when you buy airtime on air, you don't only reach customers that are listening to Eagle FM in Namibia, but you'll be able to reach customers even outside Namibia, because the interesting thing about Eagle FM app is that it can be accessed, can be listened to beyond Namibian borders. So with you communicating to me, Monica Ipinge, who is our marketing manager, then you can be able to get an opportunity to buy airtime on air. Then you can be able to advertise your products, advertise your service, and things that you do, so that you can increase your revenue. We are always indicating to say, money invested in advertisement is money on the way back to the owner with interest. Who does not want that? And you can only do that when you advertise with us. And you can also find a platform of buying a page within the Villager newspaper, so that when those economists, those CEOs, when those business analysts, when those academicians are reading the Villager newspaper, they will be able to spot your advertisement. Then they will be able also to connect with you, and you increase.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Advertisement, then they'll be able also to connect with you, and you increase revenue. And from there, you will be able to make business, expand the business, so that the business can be able to recruit people. Because the aim of the business, apart from making money, is also the community responsibility, and also what that business does to the community, such as employment and also corporate social responsibility. So you can only do that. You can only expand your revenue pool by making sure that you advertise and make your product known. We are here for you, and with that, you will not miss out. As I indicated, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Business and Economy segment with me, David Shombe. We are here from the hour of 6 until the hour of 7, and we are here to give you content and context, especially when it's coming to global affairs, continental affairs, regional affairs and indeed local affairs, so that you will be able to be updated on what is happening, and we can also be able to enter the real conversations. Like we are always indicating to you, after we bring about the conversation, we give you an opportunity so that you know, you can engage us and look at that matter, scrutinize that matter, and also expand the discussion beyond ordinary conversation. We are always saying, wherever you find yourself, do not be that person who just enter ordinary conversation where people are discussing about the weather, where people are discussing about beautiful chicks or beautiful ladies, and where people are discussing about who has money, who does not have money, which car is faster than whose cars. Let us elevate the conversation, because where we are standing right now, we are leading in terms of youth unemployment. We are still trying to find a balance, especially when it's coming to our energy. There's proposal on the table about coming up with a nuclear reactor. There's no very clear plan. We are still at the talking stage when it's coming to new emerging industries. We are still developing a framework when it's coming to new emerging industry, green hydrogen, oil and gas. And remember, we are still also not self-sustaining. While we are busy discussing about sport, which is important also, let us discuss sport in the context of Namibia and how we can expand that. While we are busy discussing about celebrities, let us think about how we can feed ourselves, because do you know that Namibia is still unable to feed itself for 6 months? All the food made in Namibia for 6 months, feeding the Namibian people, we are not going to be sustained for 6 months. We are going to die of hunger. We are going to die of malnutrition, because we are unable to feed ourselves. Do you know that as we are speaking now, apart from global economic shift, our economy is increasing at a decreasing rate. Do you know that as we are speaking now, looking at the context of young professionals, or looking at the context of Namibia working force, debt is crippling not only Namibia as a country, but also crippling Namibian people. When you look at our debt per GDP ratio, we are beyond 60%. We are beyond SADC threshold. And we must be concerned, and we must make sure that whatever we do, whatever discussion we bring on the table, they must matter. Whatever discussion we bring on the table, they must contribute positively to the national development, which is not a selective development based only on the economy or based only on the infrastructure, but a development which is cutting across all the sectors. Do you know that as we are speaking now, the only bargaining power that we have is our natural resources? But if the world say we are not going to buy your natural resources, there is nothing that we can do about that. Do you know that if you are given a diamond now, you cannot do anything with that diamond apart from selling it outside the country, cutting it and selling it outside the country? Do you know that if you are given uranium now, you can't use it? Gold and all those minerals, those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves, to say, where are we standing? What are those things that we need to discuss? And maybe you also need to understand that when it's coming to African peer review mechanisms, prediction is to say Namibia, Ghana, South Africa, Kenya, that study which was done in terms of policy coherence, do you know that we are still trying to find a balance between institutional arrangement, policy planning, and implementation? Do you understand where we are? Do you understand that when it's coming to a financial action task force, we are given directives, we are gray listed, we are given until May next year to make sure that we put our house in order, particularly when it's coming to illicit financial flow, when it's coming to management of financial system? And if you understand that, then you find it very interesting also to make sure that developmental conversations must matter wherever you are finding yourself, whether you are at the club, whether you are at the church, whether you are in a taxi. Limit yourself from mere conversations, because mere conversation will keep us away from real issues. Do you know that if I have to ask you, how come somebody just wake up, drink coffee, in town every day, driving an expensive car, but this person, same age as you are, have shares in critical national resources, but you do not have them. Do you know that there are still information out there that you cannot access? But you are not an exception. You have same right as those people. That is why we are always trying to make sure that when it comes to critical issues, let us engage into those conversations. Let us expand those conversations. And you also know that, like currently when you are speaking, when the situation in Etosha, which is about to go down of wildfire, you know, burning 30%, over 30% of the area of Etosha. Do you know that that situation can still impact the way we do business at home? That situation can still impact the way we, you know, we operate, particularly when it's coming to national development. And you also understand that when it's coming to issues of cybersecurity, we still do not have, although we have a plan, we still do not have a clear plan and capacity to deal with those issues. That's why I'm drawing your attentions to make sure that whatever we bring on the table, whatever we bring on this conversation must be expanded beyond the obvious, because we do not have a luxury of time. I remember that time in the early 2000 when the founding father was talking about Vision 2030, when Namibia was very happy to say Namibia have a vision by 2030, we are going to be an industrialized country. We are going to be paradise, El Dorado. But where are we now? We are looking at the Vision 2030 just behind that wall that you are looking at. And what have we done to meet the Vision 2030? So those are conversations that we are looking at. Those are real discussions that we are looking at. However, today we are going to be in a conversation with an activist, that is Sean Gariseb. He is well known, particularly commenting on social matters, commenting on issues of youth development, commenting on issues of housing, and also commenting on aspects which are related to, you know, infrastructure development. And I'm going to ask him questions, especially regarding what is his view, what is his feeling, how does he view, especially the aspect of, you know, youth fund. We understand that the first phase of youth fund, which is a pilot project, is out. There are some companies there per regions that are given, you know, opportunities, money, and there's a total around 14 million disseminated or to be disseminated as per what was presented. And I'm just to ask him to say, how is his feeling about the outcome? Is there something that is done well, or is there something that, you know, need to be expanded? Or what is that which need to be done to make sure that those young people who are given that money, they use it wisely, and there's a clear monitoring and evaluation to see this is a progress, this is what need to be done. So I'm going to engage Sean Gariseb to...
We are moving forward with business and economic segment. As I indicated earlier on, that we are going to be joined by Sean Gariseb. He's a youth activist, and he has been very vocal, especially in the issues of housing, issues of development, youth upgrade, and also aspects which are related to how youth policy should be implemented and also benefit the masses. And today we are going to hear from Sean Gariseb himself, because remember, before the application of youth fund, we have been in engagement with Sean Gariseb, and also gave his perspective, and I also want to see his reflection, particularly in the first phase of this pilot project. And Sean Gariseb, good evening, and how are you doing, sir?
Yeah, good evening. Thanks. I'm fine. Thanks for having me once again, Dave.
Yes, Sean, we spoke not too long ago when you guys were organizing this, you know, young people to make sure that they benefit from this more than 250 million that is on the table by government. Now we have seen at the launch the first phase of you know, this youth fund you know, allocations, and I understand you read the document and you also received the document, but maybe what is your reflection? Let us start with with what do you think have been done well, particularly on that phase, and what is your overall view? Let us start with things that you can say this one you are happy with. Then we can look at areas which need improvement, because there is always area of improvement in any case.
Yeah, most definitely. Like you would recall from the beginning, we were very confident in this program.
Yeah.
We were very confident in this program because we felt it was something that places the youth at the center of development.
Yeah.
Even though we had our reservations, we were therefore encouraging people.
Yeah.
I was very impressed by the launch, which was in Khobrobe
School. Yeah,
theme, which said, awakening the Namibian youth entrepreneurial aspirations.
Mm-hmm.
I was very impressed, and I was very happy that actually the rollout finally happened. You know, before, with the pilot phase, there was so much confusion as to people not understanding that what the due date means. And so I was very happy when the launch actually happened, and there were at least 42 people as beneficiaries that were revealed.
Now, looking at the list, because I have a list here which is showing a grant of, I think it's 14 million there, 14.7 million, which is allocated, and I'm seeing per regions, there are around three businesses per region. What is your view when you are looking at this table, and when you are looking at the allocations? Is it satisfactory for now, or what do you think have been done, and is it affecting the needy young people when you look at this business which are awarded this money?
Yeah, before these allocations were done, there's one thing that stood out, and it's the interest in that even through that pilot phase. Having over 11,000 applicants just shows you that the young people are interested.
Mm-hmm.
The young people are interested, and it was very nice that they stood up and they are ready to apply in huge numbers, just not waiting. So, but when you look at the allocation, it is very nice when you are looking at the kinds of businesses that were allocation or the kinds of ideas.
Yeah.
You can see poultry, you can see whole culture, you can see green technology, you can see charcoal production, farming. So, we were looking at the formulation of that list, and even in the fact that we intend to have a workshop just to see what kinds of businesses made it through the pilot phase, and it kind of directs the young people and as a collective to know that these kinds of businesses do help. Because in most instances, you see these are businesses that are having, or these are initiatives having more than 1%. It's very rare that maybe it's 1, 2, 3 of them are individual initiatives, but most of them are collective initiatives specified at women, men, and collective efforts.
Now, looking at the launch, and also looking at those who got assistance, what do you think in terms of the guideline of implementation of that? Because we are in a situation where number one priority is to make sure that the young people are catered for, and also those who are getting assistance should also be part of those which are expanding either employment or they are making real impact. What do you think in terms of the guiding framework upon disseminating this fund to those who need them?
Yeah, that is a very important aspect, especially pertaining to the first 42 projects.
Yeah.
We were saying there must be an aftercare process where we look at.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon, let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
An aftercare process where we look at how these young people will implement, so that we don't have a situation where young people get $1 million or 500,000 and do other things.
Yeah.
You know, in order for continuity and for us to implement more, to have more confidence into this program, these young people who have benefited must see out this program, because it has a lot of promise, I must say. It has a lot of promise, especially if you look at the projects that are approved, or the projects that are approved in regions. You can see there are initiatives that also inspire others who are sitting back to say that, I can also venture into this. I was seeing there was one in Commerce Region, which is film production.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was also are one which had to do with fishing. You know, those kinds of things that people were not thinking about, you are able to, it opens your eyes and it tells you that, oh, we can do this. Brick manufacturing, for example, in Ohangwena, pork meat supply, those kinds of things. So it's just a matter of seeing how in implementing, are you really employing these young people that you say, where you say two or three people, are you really putting the money where it's supposed to be? We should, and the young people should be encouraged to do that so that this continuity can be there, so that the program can be, the initiative can have some sort of continuity and a positive story to tell.
Yeah, and in any situation, you always find those who did not make it, not necessarily because they were not able, just because they were not closer to right infrastructure, or maybe they were found at a situation where they do not even have money to make sure that they submit their documents. Looking at the first phase, do you think the issue of youth who may want to be part of businesses and they were not accommodated due to their need, because number one is poverty. Do you think that issue was addressed, and what do you think need to be done moving forward?
Look, at this stage, you cannot really gauge that, because this was just a pilot phase, and I was really hoping this pilot phase can pass, because it was such short notice and the youth were rushing. And to be honest, I didn't want people to rush just because they are hearing this and rush projects or initiatives which they can properly polish and have a proper application. I must commend government for anchoring the fund into established institutions like Bank of Namibia and Environmental Investment Fund and so forth, because youth can sit with initiatives, and when they are ready to give in these projects, they can be assured that these projects are protected. They can be assured that these projects will be considered. They must not now feel just because I'm not part of those 42 projects which were in the pilot phase, I'm left out. No, the official rollout has just started, and that is a positive thing. And the fact that these 42 projects have been taken, that's another positive thing, to be able to say, oh, I was thinking I cannot do this, I can do this. Now you can go back, reflect, and better your proposal. That's what I think. That is, for me, that is something we must take home as young people, and go and better our projects properly polish them and go and hand them in. Even if you had failed in the first project phase, if you had applied, you can go back and then you can just go and correct or polish up and fine-tune your proposal and take it back.
Yes, Sean, the other time we spoke regarding the issue of collaboration. Now we are seeing young people, especially you can see, if you look at regions, you'll be able to see when you find poultry here in this region, you can also find poultry farming in this. Maybe to look at the future moving forward, what is the importance of collaboration and also sharing of knowledge, especially to these young businesses which got assistance, and also sharing skills to say, this is how we do it, this is where we can iron, where they say iron sharpen another iron, this is where we can work together, because at the end of the day, there must be an aspect of sustainability. What is your view on that, especially in terms of those who got assistance?
Collaboration is important. That's why you saw we went out, we got hold of people like Kadira Amomo, we got hold of young accountants. We said, let's workshop, let's have meetings with young people so that we can sit. That kind of thing is helpful. That's why we want to go back for free. Workshop with the young people, tell them that this is where you can better, this is how you can go, and then we help each other where we can. We have seen one or two people which we had discussed with. We want to have those people in the workshops that we will be having. But actually, we are only in certain areas.
Yeah.
Young people all over the country must do these collaborative efforts whereby they come together and help each other to say that, guys, let's knock on these doors, let's do this this way. That is the only way. You know, you must remember these kinds of things. Young people are the future. They are the ones that their well-being today is for the benefit of the country tomorrow. So if they are empowered, if there is a platform created, if there is an environment created for them to thrive, for them to try, for them to better and empower, to better their life, it helps. And even those young people who feel left out, they should also not sit and think, because we already know Like we were saying, there are challenges in applying for these grants also.
Yeah. Now, I want to touch that point because, you know, in Namibia, like in any other countries, there is always, you know, you find yourself, you try this, it's not working. You try this project, it's not working. You try this job and you think that, maybe it's only for some people. What is your view, especially to those who are really trying, but they did not get it, especially on the first phase? And, you know, in most cases, people get demoralized or people start hating the process and also, you know, resorting to not really to be connected to what national priorities are. What is your view? Especially to those who did not make it or have been losing opportunities, even if they put more effort.
Yeah, you see, most times well-intended government initiatives have been crippled by those things.
Yeah.
Those favoritism, bureaucratic challenges, nepotism and those things. But what we have been saying from the beginning is...
Yeah.
When the rollout is there, we just hope there will be some sort of legal framework. There will be some sort of something protecting these young people who have for the longest of time felt left out of any of efforts by government.
Yeah.
See, so that the people in the most rural or most remote or most informal areas also feel I can participate in these things and I stand a chance of getting. That's what we want. Like you were earlier saying, it is a new initiative. It is a progressive initiative. We need to support government. We need to commend government.
Yeah.
However, these are the things by holding them accountable or by money, like the fourth estate must monitor them, assess them so that we can see, are the young people really being included or are they being excluded? It is just on paper that it looks as if they are included. We as activists have our duty to do that, but it's also others as stakeholders to see. Are these young people being included? When you are saying Ohangwena, who are the people behind these names of these companies?
Yeah.
Those are the other things. But we don't want to be naysayers. We don't want to be negative.
Yeah.
We want to be positive, you see?
Uh-huh.
So I think that is the route we must take. And we must continuously encourage people, guys, even if you are in rural Zambezi, apply, network, workshop, and apply and try.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't make it now in the pilot phase, come back next year. It's open anyways. You come back and you do better and you try.
Yes, as a youth leader and as a youth activist and somebody who has been in the field for quite some time, what is the future looking like, especially when it's coming to youth fund? What are some of the things that, you know, we must be cautious about? And also, what are some of the things that you think, you know, need to be looked at, especially when it's coming to distribution of funds and also materialization of, you know, national priorities, particularly when it's coming to the usefulness of this fund given to the young people? What are those things, especially when you're looking at the main rollout?
Look, let these kinds of things, as Namibians, let's not repeat what we have done, mistakes we have done in the past with tenders, with fishing rights and other provisions.
Yeah.
Let it not be elite youth being the only ones benefiting. Let it not be youth that have other things that they can rely on that will be the only ones benefiting. Let's make sure that all youth are included.
Yeah.
Let's make sure that every Namibian young child feels that even if I didn't make it, I will make it next time. Let the fund create that kind of environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the fund is new. There are going to be challenges, but let us just do that. That is my advice to them as the implementing agencies and government.
Yes, Sean Garrison, thank you very much for your time and thank you for being with us this evening.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Yeah, we are moving forward. That was an activist, Sean Garrison, especially in the aspect of youth development. And he made his point very clear. He made his point very clear to say, let us not repeat the mistakes that, you know, we have done in the past. Let us not create a mistake that we have done in the past, especially in the case of tenders. And also let these young people benefit equally, especially those who, you know, are not in the context of, you know, who have been not benefiting from many other projects. Because as I indicated beforehand, to say we have various levels in youth leadership. We have levels of young people in Namibia. You have those who are closer to power. You have elite youth. You have middle youth. And you also have the masses who are just there in numbers and at the edge of development. Somebody who is at Kamatapati, for example, somebody who is deep down on Angwena region, somebody who is deep down on Maheke, deep down the farm at Karas, and is not even connected to the mainstream, youth discussions. That's why at this context, we analyze those issues and we look at what the activist has to say. And with Sean Garisab, we are always grateful. We are always grateful, especially when you are receiving content and also context regarding youth development. Remember, 70% of African population is youth. And we will not miss that opportunity. And that is a very critical opportunity in history of time, because it's not always that you find such situation, because generations change, global affairs impact the world, and also population also grow and outgrow another population. Because when you look at, for example, Japan, which economy is stronger than African economy, but now currently it needs youth because majority of Japan population are old people, because due to the fact that of high life expectancy, quality medication, and also longevity. That's why at this point in time, when we encourage the majority of young people, when we encourage young people to partake in youth developmental activities and also to get opportunity to access funds, this will be a game changer. This will be, young people will not be, we are not going to be involved in other unnecessary activities. Youth are not going to be involved in alcohol, drug abuse, and also issues which are affecting their mental health. Because when you are getting money, when you have a future, when you are guaranteed of happiness in the future, then it's easy for you to be a main actor in economic development of that country. That is why at the business and economic segment, we are trying to make sure that the conversation must be elevated, discussions must be elevated, and youth must be elevated. Maybe the question that we need to ask ourselves is the youth agency. Because in wherever you find yourself, you find youth agency. I have spoke with few young people, especially within a climate space, will be able to understand that although Namibian young people have one direction, what they want, you find many organizations, usually with the same vision, usually operating in one space, but there is a difficulty or difficultness in terms of collaboration of those institutions, working together of those institutions to make sure that at least they achieve their intended goal, which is, the agenda that they are pursuing. If it's youth in climate or youth in oil and gas, youth in any energy sector, they must collaborate and work together. Because the facts still remain. We may have good intentions, we may have rolling out good programs, but the question that you're asking yourself is that, what is the aspect of collaboration and working together of Namibian young people? Because it's not always about the elders, it's also not always about those who have power, it's also the attitude and the mentality that we have. Are the young people, I don't even want to go to say, are the young people willing to work with the young people in Kedman if they have the same project, to work in a grand project? Because there are things that we also need to think.
Shop and Cash, here's what you can get for less than 20 Namibian dollars at USAID. 750 milliliters Polagrig dishwashing liquid, 14.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams Romy 37% fat spread, 14.99 Namibian dollars. 200 grams Champion liver spread, 19.99 Namibian dollars. 100 milliliters Aquafresh toothpaste, 19.99 Namibian dollars. And a packet of Tiffany cream biscuits for just 6.99 Namibian dollars. You save your low budget grocery store with good food, cost less.
Because there are things that we also need to think ourselves, and also we also need to change to say, in the context of collaboration, look at oil and gas. There are different youth bodies. You can also find youth NGOs which are in the aspect of oil and gas. But the question that you are asking yourself is that, is this fragmentation, how is this fragmentation going to impact the achievement of the overall goal of that project. And how many of these young people are willing to collaborate? How many of these young people are willing to give up their so-called position? Because if you go to a youth space, I've been in a youth space for not too long, but what I've seen is that the title there matters, even if you are not doing anything. Now I'm the secretary of this organization, I'm the deputy secretary, I'm the PA to the secretary, and I'm what, I'm the founder and also chief organizer. Then you're asking yourself to say, really, if now we are also mixed in this aspect of titles, when are we going to get time for real issues? When are we going to get time, for practical implementation? Because remember what I have spoken earlier, what I have said earlier is the fact that we are still at the talking stage of many things. Maybe the aspect of food security will materialize, but we are still on the talking stage. We are still negotiating. We are still speaking. And we are still making loud pronunciation. I do not want to repeat the words of Kanjoka Mkwanyoka when he was speaking today at Early Morning Scoop, especially in the area of energy, uranium and all those things. But the fact remains that let us look at what we can do on the ground of collaboration and also sharing of knowledge. You may be surprised. You may think you know. But when you are collaborating with people in your field, and I respect challenges, and I respect people who are in my field, in my space, and they are educating me. That's why if you find me with Helmut, I'm always learning. I'm always learning a few things, because when it's coming to global affairs, trade, international issues, that is his space. And when we start understanding that the youth of Namibia can only move forward when they are collaborating, then we'll get away with these things of youth fighting. I don't want to talk about youth institutions, because I'm also a young people, a young person. I do not talk about youth institutions. But how is the constituency of youth in Namibia? And how can we make sure that this of which we have been waiting for so long, and now given to young people, who really are benefiting the young people, not a portion of young people. Because the issue of youth unemployment is so big. The issue of inequality is so huge, not only in Namibia, not only in SADC region, not only in Africa, not only in the southern, the southern world, but in the whole globe. The issue of economic inequality is very big. That's why when you fill that gap, then we'll see the future that we want. Maybe it's also the aspect of young professionals also. We also need to discuss the aspect of young professionals to say, you will find a certain portion of young people who, I do not want to say we're so lucky. They are also part of the equation. Maybe they work so hard to that extent that they get good jobs, they get good influence. But the question you're asking to say, what is the role of young professionals to uplift those who are still in the mud? What is the role of young professionals also to look back? Because at the end of the day, it's also a commitment which has to come from citizens, not from the government. It's a commitment which has to come from citizens to say, if you're in a country where a majority of young people are suffering, if you are in a country where there is economic inequality, there is food insecurity, and you found yourself at the space where you have influence, you have money, and you also have a voice to speak, what are you doing to make sure that you assist with this situation? Because remember, this situation is not only going to impact those who are suffering because they are not able to get those assistance. It will also impact you. When the majority of young people are not having opportunities, they become criminals. When they become criminals, criminals do not have, a selection criteria, who to attack, who to take things from. They will engage you anytime, anywhere, wherever they find you. But that is not the country that you want. When majority of young people give up on life, it will spill over on those who did not assist, or those who thought they were safer. Because at the end of the day, we are living in the same country. We are too few to be poor. And it's my wish to see the real practical implementation of this, which is given to the deserving young people, and also to see employment creation. So when you look at, because there's quite a disturbing news, especially from Madagascar there, where the president of Madagascar dissolved the whole government due to protest from Generation Z, because the young people of Madagascar, they came to the street, and that demonstration is stated to have cost the lives of around 22 people, and leaving around 100 people injured. And in response, the president has just decided to dissolve the whole government and also apologized. But looking at the context of SADC, especially when you look at the politics of SADC and the direction of SADC, political leaders, the question that you are asking yourself is that when it comes to the youth of SADC, how are they prioritized? When it's come to the youth of SADC, how are they prioritized? What is that can best be done to accommodate the active generation? Because when you trace back 10 years ago, when you look at SADC, not convention, but SADC summits, when you look at the leaders of SADC summits, what they prioritize, what they speak about, when you go to the African Union and look at what the leaders of African states are talking about, especially when it's coming to youth, you will be happy when you are listening to them. But when you are coming to their countries and you are asking a question to say, what is the priorities of young people? How are the priorities of young people are prioritized in that country? And what is the impact of that in national development? Then you get a different picture. We have seen what have happened in Mozambique last year. Because remember, when you have desperate, hungry young people, they become influenced by anything. Any political will which come in, they become influenced. When you see young people become, or they even children, they become child soldiers. But it's a question of is priorities being understood? Are the young people priorities understood? And what is that which is being done moving forward? What lesson can we learn from this chaotic situation? And what is the impact of this into SADC? Because when you look at Madagascar, it can be an island, an island in Indian Ocean, but it's part of SADC. When people start running out of the country, they will come to Namibia. They will come to Zimbabwe. They will come to South Africa. They will come to Angola. And how are we going to handle that? Because remember, everything is economically connected. Because you have to feed them. One way or the other, you have to feed them. The other time we were speaking about the Angolan nationals who are here in Namibia. It's not what they want. It's the situation on the ground. That's why, dear listeners, wherever you find yourself, especially these days, make sure that discussions must be elevated and criticism must be backed up with alternative solutions. Because it's one thing to criticize. It's the other thing also to find a solution. Because it could be that those who you are criticizing also are also finding it very difficult to address that issues that you are critical about. So that's why, especially in this context, summarizing the conversation with Sean Garisib is the aspect of let us, those who get the money, given an opportunity to utilize the money. because we have been asking so much to say, give us the money. When is the money coming? Give young people money. Give them opportunity to start their businesses. You spoke about capitals to start. There have been issues of collaterals. Now there is no collaterals. Business are given there. Give young people opportunity to expand and also make mistakes. Because if things like youth fund continue to be like that, and the young people are very serious about it without, when they are not interrupted, we'll see a different Namibia. Because that is where it starts. That is where it starts. So, dear listeners, we are coming to the end of our conversation. We are coming to the end of a business and economic segment. And like Amore is indicating, thank you very much for following us. And thank you also very much for tuning in. And we are always indicating to you to say like and share our page, Eagle FM Namibia, at all our social media platform. That is Facebook, X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And make sure that you download the Villager newspaper, which is coming out every Monday, every Wednesday, every Friday morning. And for those of you who have smaller businesses, medium businesses, and multinational corporations, make sure that if you want to expand your revenue, if you want to expand your capital or revenue pool, and you want to reach clients beyond Namibia, advertise with Eagle FM Namibia. Talk to me, Monica Ipinge, and you will not lose out. That's why we are always indicating to you to say, money invested in advertisement is money back on the way to the owner with interest, and money invested in advertisement is money expanding. So, in this case, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Uncle Fly and Naruvanda to take you through Mtuma. And from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now, and see you around.